Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen, bienvenidos, benvenuti, benvindo, welkommen, tervetuloa, and if you're in Latvia, speaky, to the fourth ESC Tips podcast of 2013. Today we'll be discussing the entries in the second half of the semi-final. So, who do we have today? Well, once again, we have the head honcho, the main editor, the main writer. Bet against him and you're a sucker. It's just a shame he's such a fine, upstanding gentleman. It's Gavin Lambert. Gavster, welcome.
Another fine intro, Andy.
Believe me, I've got 34 of them ready. And also, we have, once again, Daniel Gould from sofabet.com.
Welcome, and thanks for having me back. I think that it's better to be asked back than asked in the first place, isn't it? Because it tells you you weren't a complete disaster first time round. So thanks for having me again.
Well, quite frankly, I'm shocked that I've been asked back. You were far better than me last time. Anyway, so we're on to the second half of the second semi-final, and it kind of explains the Greek economy. If alcohol is free, then you're really not making that much in taxes, really. Sadly, Greece will have real problems in Sweden because alcohol is definitely not free there. But anyway, here are Kosmostra with Alcohol is Free. Yeah, are you going to be picking up Greece's bar bill?
I wish I could. It's bound to be cheaper than mine. I'm really fond of Greece, and alcohol is free. I was fond of it right from day one, even though I was still slightly suspicious whether it would get through the televote, given that there were a couple of other popular artists in their national final. But I'm glad it did, because I think it's one of those infectious songs that will start the party at Eurovision. I saw it in London. There was a lot of buzz. In fact, you could argue they were the best act of the night. They sounded brilliant live. They also performed a couple of hits off their album, which also made me buy a Greek album in a totally different language, which is not something I'd usually do. But in terms of how it can progress, well, look at Greece's semi-performance since the split semi-final, and it reads something like first, fourth, second, first, fourth. This is going to be top three easy in the semi-final, given their diaspora. They've got the most mates out of anyone in semi-final two. And it should be a cast-iron top 10 bet.
So, Daniel, top three in the semi, top 10 in the final. Do you agree with Gav?
I largely agree with that. I mean, I certainly like the Greek entry as much as Gav does and was impressed by it as much as Gav was in London and Amsterdam. Of course, as some pundits have noted, juries might decide that they don't like this because they incorrectly feel that it's gimmicky or they don't like the title, which would be a shame. But that means I'd be keener on it's the semi-final half of its of what Gav's keen on. So keener on top three in the semi. Where there isn't that much strength in depth for juries anyway. And like last year, Greece came third with juries in its semi-final and it came 18th with juries in the final. So that allowed it to have a strong performance in the semi and it dropped away in the final. I'd hope that wouldn't happen this year, but it does mean I prefer its chances of top three in the semi next to its chances of top 10 in the final. Which is not to say it won't come top 10 in the final, but if you're sweet on it, then I recommend you go in on the semi for the reasons that Gav mentioned.
Just jumping in there and just picking Daniel's memory, really. Mm-hmm. The jury final rehearsal last year, did she drop a few notes? Because my memory and obviously my database for Eskbet has gone, so I can't recap what I originally posted. Do you know off the top of your head whether she dropped a couple of notes?
Opinion was divided. I thought she was fine, but I wasn't particularly objective, I fear. And I know Rob from Entertainment Odds also thought she was fine, but Keith Mills didn't think she was. So there was split opinion there. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time something that is kind of a little bit trashy drops a great height in the jury vote from semi to final. She may not have been as good. I mean, she was never brilliantly convincing in the first place. But I mean, it does highlight the fact that it's easier in the semi to do relatively well with the juries than it is in the final, especially this year when you have a lot of the jury bait is in the other semi-final, and there's quite a bit of jury bait among the automatic qualifiers as well. So I'm confident that it should do okay with juries in the semi. Slightly less confidence about the final, even though if I were on a jury, I would be giving it a decent amount of points.
Daniel, you're such a stato, and quite frankly, I thought I was the ultimate Eurovision stato, but well, you'd have thought that your livelihood depends on it or something like that.
Indeed.
Yes. Fair enough. Greece, I do really like this song, but I'm not as confident as Gav is about its success. It'll qualify, but I wouldn't say it's a definite top three, and I wouldn't say it's a definite top ten. When it qualifies, I put somewhere around the halfway mark, around 12th. Yes, I mean, a chance of Gavin's top ten, but... I'm just not as certain of success as Gavin is. Okay, we're now on to the second song today. It comes from Israel. The song's name is Rak Bishvilo, for a translation. Purchase the Klingon dictionary from Amazon. And it's performed by Moran Mazor de Israel. Daniel, your thoughts on Israel?
Well, it's the Hebrew ballad with the guttural sounds that entails. I mean, it's not dissimilar to 2010's effort. Milim is the kind of female equivalent. That managed eighth in that year's tougher semi, thanks to Jury Love. It was fourth with juries, 12th with televoters. I'm seeing possibly a similar result with this. I don't have it as a certain qualifier, actually. I had it in my initial top seven, but I think I won't be going big on it definitely qualifying. I think it's slightly more borderline than I initially had thought.
Gavin, would you agree?
I would agree with that. Interestingly, I thought that this is probably one of the more dreary ballads. Looking at the semi-final as a whole, and given that it's followed by Hungary, Norway, Georgia, I think it could be a little bit... Well, it could disappear down the memory hole after those songs. The jury should rank it fairly highly, but going back to 2010 and Milim, that one only just crept in to the qualifiers. I'm with Daniel, really, it is very much borderline, but I would probably back it not to qualify. But I'm very interested in what happens at rehearsals. From what I've seen from the photos from the pre-contest rehearsals is that she's on her own on the stage, which doesn't bode well, given that other acts that are struggling to qualify or are not as interesting visually are putting backing singers or more movement on stage. But we won't know until we see her plonked on stage.
I definitely agree with Gav there. I'd probably put this on the non-qualifying side of things, to be honest. There's nothing remarkable there for me. And Israel, yeah, they do have certain friends. I'm not getting into politics here, but I don't think enough to carry a song that's borderline through. Okay, now we're on to the third song. Believe it or not, this was co-written by Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath. Sadly, he didn't manage to persuade Ozzy to perform it, and quite frankly, it's no Paranoid. Here's Armenia. Gav, your thoughts about your fellow West Midlander?
I'm not at all a fan of Armenia, that is. Having seen it at the national final, it was pretty poor for a rock song. It was anemic. He isn't particularly good in front of a camera. He was just bopping around and his bandmates were looking particularly uninterested. It reminded me of Turkey 2011 and it just lacks stagecraft. Now, there's a lot that can happen between national final and Malmo. Armenia do have friends, and it is dangerous to suggest that they won't qualify. But anything is on the cards, especially in this part of the semi-final. I wouldn't be surprised to see it not qualify. But it's if it does qualify, it's not going to trouble the top of the leaderboard. In fact, I would say it's more likely if it does qualify, it'll be ranging between 15th and 20th.
Daniel, do you see it scraping through, like Gavster?
I think it has more friends in this semi than Turkey 2011 had in its semi, and I think that it's worthy enough for jurors not to punish it too much, and I think that'll be enough to see it through. Having said which, it won't be carrying huge wads of my money to do so, but I will still be surprised more than not if it fails to qualify.
For me, quite frankly, I think it's bloody awful. That doesn't mean I don't think it'll qualify, but for somebody who co-wrote Paranoid by Black Sabbath, this is just hideous, quite frankly. But yeah, it's got enough friends to qualify, sadly. Okay, now we move on to the next song, song number 4 in our order today, and it comes from Hungary. Here is By Alex with Kedvesem. Daniel, Kedvesem, good? No?
Well, I don't mind it. I find it a little bit charming, but I don't think the rest of Europe will necessarily agree with me, although it will pick up votes in places like Norway, where they like a kind of unassuming sort of male, slowy. The problem with it is his kind of flat, sort of hushed delivery, which I don't think is just going to impress jurors enough, and I don't think it's going to shake televoters enough to make them want to pick up the phone and vote much in general. So at the moment, I have this down as one of those non-qualifiers that certain fans go, oh, do you remember that lovely little Hungarian song that didn't get through to the final? That's the kind of pigeonhole I put it in right now.
Gab, are you in the same pigeonhole?
Yeah, I would tend to agree there. It's a really pleasant song. I wasn't keen on it initially because I kind of heard what it was up against in the final and was surprised it made it in the end. I thought the Hungarian fans may have chosen something a little more upbeat. but it is a nice song. I think the juries will reward it slightly, but as Daniel said, I don't think the televoters will remember it well enough to pick up the phone and throw votes at it. It's probably going to be a non-qualifier for me, but I'll be interested to see how the stage works as soon as we get to Sweden. They are keeping the stage choreography the same, though. It's just going to be by Alex and guitarist.
I think that's fair enough. Thing is, I think the only thing that speaks for it qualifying is its position. It's about, what, 5 from the last. And so that might put it in voters' minds. The trouble is, Hungary have traditionally got an awful, awful record at Eurovision. Well, with the exception of 1994, which was their debut in the contest, and they actually got the first 3 12 points of the night. So they started off perfectly, but they came fourth in the end. But apart from that, they've got an awful record. This is unremarkable and not a song that people will remember. So I'd say personally non-qualifier. I tried several introductions for this song and they all fail. So here's Norway, Margaret Berger, I Feed You With My Love.
Against my back, and you dare me to face the attack. You say for cowards there's no reward. I have the future on my tongue.
Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Right. I mean, it's a likely jury winner of this semi-final and an obvious contender for the semi-final win. My thing about Norway is when you watch a reprise of this semi-final, i.e. 20 seconds of each song, it stands head and shoulders above the rest. And then when you watch the whole 3 minutes of it, you start to worry if the whole presentation and song, in fact, are a little static and unchanging. So that's my debate going on in my head about Norway.
Yeah, would you agree?
I would tend to agree, mainly because in our comment sections, there's always been the debate about Norway versus Denmark. And Denmark is a grower. It starts off nice and softly, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and then it finishes off with this magical crescendo. Norway, it sizzles. It's a very dark and edgy song, and it just sizzles along and along and along for 3 minutes. And you do get some little uplift in the mood, but if it wasn't Margaret performing that song, I'm not sure we would be quite as excited about it. I think it's Margaret that does so well at selling the song. She's brilliant in front of camera. Are people going to remember the song, or are people going to remember Margaret? And that's, again, my quandary. That's where I'm stuck. Is this a winner or not? I think it's rightly a favourite in both markets, the Eurovision win market and the semi-final market, but whether it'll achieve that, I'm much more uncertain.
I think that's fair enough. Certainly your caveats there, gentlemen. This is, for me, by far my favourite song of the entire contest. I love the way the verses are slightly Björk-esque. Certainly in the way that Margaret sings them. There isn't the big chorus that, say, Euphoria had, but quite frankly, for me, this is the best song. Whether it's accessible enough for Europe is another matter. But I would say, I mean, if it, say, gets slot number 23 in the draw, it's a winner. Okay, after Norway, we now move on to a country that's never won but has come quite close previously. It's Albania. Here we go. Recordava la mancheta, ieri sentit Gav, what do you think about Adrian and Bledov?
Well, Albania, they have quite a few friends in this semi-final. They have an excellent qualification record. It has developed slightly since its national final performance. Certainly in the national final performance, it was a little bit ragged. And the guitar, I don't know the guitarist's name, but he plays a wicked guitar solo, but his vocals are pretty shocking. Going forward to Sweden, I think they've brought more backing singers into it, so it'll be interesting to see if he kills the performance or makes the performance. Qualification-wise, there's no worries at all. When it gets through to the final, it's a possible borderline top 10, but it all depends on how tight the performance is. I could quite easily see it placed in 14th or something.
Daniel, do you think it lacks identity?
I do. I mean, my main problem with it is the first minute where we have the guitarist, who is Bledar. He does the singing. And he looks like the love child of Wurzel Gummidge and Nana Mouskouri. Secondly, I don't like the way he sounds. And I'd gone for a cup of tea before he's even started talking about his bathroom settee, to be honest. I'm not a fan of this. I have crunched some numbers. I kind of have it as borderline. I actually had it in ninth place and when I sort of did a sort of mock scoreboard. It does have friends, although I think the new system doesn't necessarily help countries like Albania, where in places like, say, Switzerland, they have a good diaspora, but juries could completely undermine that. So for me, it's a borderliner.
Just to echo Daniel's points there, I would agree it's a borderliner if they don't tighten up the song as a live package. If it's still in its national final format, this is going nowhere.
I've actually got this down as a qualifier myself. It's slightly different with the guitar aspect to actually have something, have an edge over similar acts, and also they do have friends, so I've definitely got it down as a qualifier. But as you say, borderline top 10, probably middle, really. There's a period of Swedish history between 1611 and 1721, which is called Stormaktstiden. The time that Sweden was actually a major global power. They can't do this militarily anymore, so they've tried to do it through the media of Eurovision. And once again, we've got a Swede writing a song for another country, this time Tomas Gerson, the winner last year, has written a song for Georgia, and here he is. Daniel, what do you think about Tomas Gerson's new attempt at Eurovision?
I have very mixed feelings about Georgia. The devil in me says that it's 2 minutes of bland build-up followed by 1 minute of shouting. There's something else that keeps nagging away at me, which kind of says, and yet, which is if they kind of get everything right and if they can manage to sort of relate on stage, which is not a given, and if the staging is good, which those who saw like a sneak preview video, which was posted online briefly, suggests that they have got the right idea, that somehow this could do very well indeed, despite my misgivings about the song itself. And one other thing I want to mention was it's notable how loyal juries among the former Soviet states were to each other last year. And Georgia was the best example of that. And we know that because it got very few televotes. I'm a joker. So all its points came from its the 62 points that the juries gave it. And they were all from other former Soviet states. And it's just worth noting how well a lot of the former Soviet states did with juries last year. Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia. It's not exclusively the case, but I thought it was something of note that deserved to be mentioned in this example.
No, absolutely. So, Gavin, for me, this is the second best song I've ever heard called Waterfall. What do you think?
I initially wasn't a fan of this at all. I thought it was Eurovision by numbers. I thought it was trying to rediscover or redo what Azerbaijan did 2 years ago. It was unoriginal, and it was typically Swedish. Like Daniel, I also think there's something missing, and I'm also questioning the fact that are people going to think back 2 years and think, haven't we seen all this before? And will they look at Sophie and Noddy and see any kind of emotion between them? Will it be like Denmark 2010, where there just wasn't that kind of magic, that chemistry between them? I suspect it's in for a good finish, given the voting block that they can count on, and just the fact that it's typical jury fodder. But for the win...
And its positioning, of course.
Yeah, but for the win... For the win of Eurovision, I'm very doubtful. For the win of the semi-final, there's potential there, certainly, just because of the amount of allies they've got, and because it does follow that jury fodder and that they do love a good dramatic ballad.
Daniel, you wouldn't back it for a win in the semi-final, would you?
I have it in third place on my numbers. It's a relatively friendly semi for it, but it's not... it's not as biased in its favour as the semi is for, say, Greece. So at the moment I have it behind Norway and Greece, but it does have that great draw, so that's something it's got going for it.
No, absolutely fair enough. I mean, for me, it's absolutely nothing special. A lot of people make a big case that it's written by Thomas Gerson. The Swedish imperialism over Eurovision is becoming more and more encompassing, quite frankly. But you have to realise that Swedes are responsible for generally about 7 songs a year in Eurovision. So I don't think that this is a magic touch. Thomas Gerson himself has written so many songs that have failed. So yes, qualifier definitely, but I can't see it as a winner in the semi-final. Okay, we're now on to the penultimate song of the night. Quite frankly, I think Eurovision rules can be quite fortunate for some people, because as an English speaker, when I first saw the name Piles Arme, I did suspect some kind of Nazi link. Apparently it was German for Salvation Army, but they're not allowed to be called that. So here is Takasa. Gav, are you a follower of the Salvation Army?
No, I'm not, but I can imagine Salvation Army headquarters across Europe mobilising their troops to support this song. And that's the dangerous prospect this song throws open to us, in that you could have a whole army of people hitting redial across Europe. The song itself is, or was at first, you know, it was quite a good level, but we've moved on since December, and there are better songs now in the semi-final. Even though they've got the penultimate spot in the semi-final, I still don't think the draw is brilliant for them, mainly because the song is slightly, well, it's going to be overshadowed by Romania, let's face it. But I also, having watched Amsterdam concert, their vocals still don't seem quite together. And on stage, it all looks rather stagnant. It's all about those two, the lead singers, and no one else seems involved. And that was probably one of the successes of the Russian Grannies, is that they were all involved and everyone else just looks like a prop. So for me, and again looking at Switzerland's voting power in this semi, I would say it's a non-qualifier, but I am worried about the Salvation Army's troops.
Daniel, would you say that this is the best entry from Priest since My Lovely Horse?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, for me, I don't like the song so much. I think it's cheesy and dated. And it's the kind of thing, actually, that juries have not tended to show favour for. So as a punter, you're relying on a decent televote, which is always a dangerous thing to assume when it comes to Switzerland. But I hadn't thought of what Gav just said about the Salvation Army across Europe motivating themselves to vote. If that's the case, then that's right. That might just save it, because otherwise I would personally have this down as a non-qualifier, despite the draw.
I would echo that. It's certainly on my non-qualification list as it stands, but it only remains open because of that threat of mass people phoning in for it.
The combination of the blood and fire phone banks and the positioning of it, second last, you know, I mean, how can it fail to qualify? It will qualify through divine right, quite frankly. Yeah, it's a very dull soul for me. But since when has that mattered? Okay, and now on to the final song of semi-final two. In the UK, shopkeepers came up with a high-pitched noise-emitting device called the Mosquito to keep unruly youths from loitering outside of their premises. Romania have brought us Cesar. Lock away your crystals, put earmuffs on your pooch and brace yourself for It's My Life. Daniel, is it your life?
Judging by the official video that was released today, I can only dream, because in it, Cesar positions himself as the next James Bond, and it's unintentionally a very, very funny video, so I do recommend it if you haven't seen it already. Otherwise, of course, this one tends to divide people. And I will just point out that the whole new system of ranking all the songs, especially among juries, this is the kind of song that is actually going to be hurt by that, because it only takes a couple of the five jurors of each country just to watch this and go, this is preposterous. I can easily fit this into my ranking system because I'm just going to put it at number 17 of 17. And that's going to really damage Romania's chances. And there's been a big debate about whether the draw and the memorability, the fact that it's a very memorable number, will see it through. But I think people need to worry about how that new system of allocating points will impact on an entry like Romania. And for that reason, I'm still going with it being a non-qualifier.
Okay, that's fair enough. But do you think there's much difference between, you know, somebody ranking it 17th or somebody just not ranking it?
Good question. It makes much more difference in the final. That's very true. However, Romania is one of those countries where, take out Moldova, who are not in this semi anyway, and they're relying on diaspora in places like Spain. So if you're coming first in the televote in Spain and 17th in the jury votes, now, previous under the old system, that would have guaranteed you 8 points or so. Under the new system, that might get you 1 or 2 points.
Gavin, would you agree with Daniel?
Yeah, when I first compiled my semi-final tables that I do every year, it was one that I highlighted in red as a non-qualifier. And I've gingerly moved it into an amber category over the last few weeks. After seeing it become, well, he did quite a good performance in London, and he seems to have a lot of people suggesting that they are fans of his and they might just pick up the phone. But I also consider what Daniel said, in that under this new voting system, how will this song fare? And I'm tended to think it'll be a non-qualifier, where actually there's no value for that at all. And certainly at the moment, until I see something on stage that blows me away and suggests to me that this is going to make people pick up the phone just as floating voters, it's not one that I'm going to get involved with. I've seen the photos of his rehearsal, or the stand-ins rehearsal, and again, it doesn't seem as if anything's changed from their national final. So it's all to do with light and mirrors, really. What can they do to the stage to make this more effective on TV?
Let me probably qualify. I mean, I haven't calculated it as much as you two gentlemen, to be honest. It's just kind of gut feeling with me. The fact that it's singing last, I mean, yes, it doesn't have Moldova to give it 12 points, but I think it's got enough friends in, say, Hungary, Albania, to put it through. It's slightly different enough to just get the votes that other songs will not, the example being Hungary for me.
Going back to Georgia last year, echoing Daniel's earlier points, is that Georgia came last in the televote.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, not quite as good a draw as Romania this year, but still, it was a similar kind of song in the sense that it was slightly left field. They came last in the televote, so I can see it being equally as divisive. And again, I think that echoes the point with Romania, that it's likely not to qualify, because I can't see it doing particularly well with the juries.
So that was the final song of semi-final 2 in this year's Eurovision 2013 from Malmö. Thank you so much to Daniel Gould from sofabet.com. Thank you, Daniel, again.
My pleasure, thank you.
And thank you again to Gavin Lambert, the Gabster, the boss.
Thank you, Andy. And just to remind everyone that Daniel will be joining us again sometime later in the week when we'll be discussing the Big Six.
Indeed, the Big Six. And on that note, thank you very much to all our guests, Daniel Gould, Gavin Lambert, and from me, Andy Redburn, it's goodbye and see you next time.
Bye.